I really count it an honor and a privilege to even minister the word of God. I just love God. I love his presence. There is just nothing like God. I've never said anything about myself since I'm here, but I think sometimes people need to also understand where you come from. So I've got a promotion clip of the channel and everything. I found Jesus when I was 13 years old. My father was dying of cancer. And I was dreaming, I'm going to hell. And for 6 months, I literally asked people to help me find God, and nobody could help me find God. But when I found God, I found him, and I never turned around. By the age of 19, I went to Bible school. I'm a bit loud. I'm usually loud. So I'm soft now, so I'm going to go louder. You can bring me down. And there I met Quibus, and I was 19, and I was in the mission field full-time. And we started one of the greatest works in South Africa. We've got a television channel going all over Africa. They call me Mother of the Nations. Now, Mother of the Nations is in Canada on Mother's Day. Can you believe it? I should actually... No, there's no time. Just for time's sake. I'm not going to show you a big promotional clip, but... It's about 3 months ago, I bought my son a drone. I took all my money and I just bought him a drone because we've got a channel and he's got to have a drone. So this was so funny. I was sitting in the bath, and I'm all alone now. My husband died, it's now 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And I'm all alone in the house and I hear there's a swarm of bees in the house. I jumped out of the bath. I fell on my head. I got the towel and I got my gown and I opened the door and here stands the drone. And I was okay. Now, ever since then, every time anybody comes to visit me, my son gets the drone and he comes and flies and says, "Where are you, Mom? What are you doing? What are you guys eating there in case you can get something?" So I said to him when I was in Canada, he must just make me quickly a clip of our church that I can show the people of the work we've done, because I really believe it's a miracle. Every time I speak to someone, you understand that Manning is a small town. Now, I don't know if you know that you've got revival, because in a small town like this, to have so many people, well, God's got a plan for this place. Because when we started, we were in a small town, but our small town was officially announced to be a ghost town. And the five people that was in the church, me and two sons and two other people, Kuba said, they made a mistake. They just didn't put the full thing in there. And he took a black hokey pen and he said, "Holy ghost town." Amen. And in the small town of Stilfontein, in the heart of South Africa, we built one of the biggest works in South Africa, and we have touched a nation and changed so much in the spirit realm. And then my husband died. And it took me a while to understand my husband died, not my God. You know, so many times we look at our situations, and I've learned stupid, I can say. Our situations are so stupid compared to what Jesus took for us. And we have to lift up our heads and run our race and do our thing. So I just want to show you our church. So this is not a promotion clip or something, just that you can see our church. We're in the middle of the field. There's nothing. And we've built one of the biggest works. And twice a year, we had about 4,000 to 6,000 preachers from all over the world coming to a small place in Stilfontein. And maybe that's why I'm here. You know, because anointing smears off. I think we need to get a vision for Manning. And I really believe God wants to do something in Manning. Okay, so let's look at the clip.
Who spoke the earth and sky?
As you can see, there's nothing. We're in the middle of nowhere. We're not even in the town. We're out of town, and God did it. Isn't it awesome? Oh, come on. You guys must smile before I go on. So I had three sons. I have three sons, Peter, James, and John. I really, really wanted Mary, but I was so scared it was going to be Judas, so I stopped. Really, I was not in for that. But why do you do this? Because everywhere I go, I now have a problem. I'm Quibus's wife. Everybody knows me. And everything I do, I get associated with. So I cannot just be going around doing what I want to. But it always reflects back to where I come from. So I can't just go with anybody. Lo doesn't know that. So when I met Lo, I literally went to his house to meet his wife and his child and everybody to see who Lo is before I could even go with what he's wanting me to do. So Lo said to me, Annelies, Canada needs you to come. And I first went to his house, and because many times in our Christian walk, we just take everything from everybody. Listen, guys, if someone is messed up and messed up and messed up and messed up and messed up, I'm not going to walk with him. You look at me like so religious. I'm serious. There's a lot of nonsense going on in churches. I will not be associated with anybody that is not walking with the Spirit. And I'm telling you, it's sometimes not what you do, but why you do what you do. Amen. That's important for God. And I just want to honor Lo, and I thank you for being there for me in your wife, and you have just been a blessing in my life. And in some of the darkest days, it's not easy what I've done to walk out of 36 years of work. My husband was mostly sick. Man, he was a man of vision and a man of the word. He couldn't live. The doctors told him over and over he couldn't live. Our church is 70 meters like that. It's just crutches, crutches, crutches. The walls are crutches. The crutches were heaps. We saw so much miracles. And that is because of someone that couldn't live, and he did it. I don't think I've got an excuse. I don't think we've got an excuse. I think we must get our running shoes on, and we must run for what Jesus has paid the price for us. Amen. Amen. Okay, so you more or less know who I am. I've got three little girls, four little girls now, and I think God finally heard my prayer. I've got girls. I will just send you this. I want you to listen to this little message I got this morning. I think it's so cute. Ah, there it went. Oh, Father, there's no signal. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Amma, we're going to fetch you at the airport. So now, tomorrow morning, I'm flying out. And this is really, 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 really an honor for me to be in Manning on the last day. I just found some wonderful people here, and I believe you're not going to be this quiet the whole service. Okay. What do you preach on Mother's Day? Last night, I read a scripture, and I started reading at the wrong place. And when I read it, I'm like, what? And I'm going to take you back to this. Go with me to John 19. And everybody say, this is the word of God. And my heart is open. My spirit is receptive. And I am going to receive what God wants from me. Amen. Could we put these fans a bit lower or just slightly, because it's really like a tornado above me. Thank you. Okay, verse 26. Jesus is dying. He's on the cross already. They've hung him. He's there. He's been beaten to a point where you can't recognize him. You know what? The history writers say that if you saw him from the back, you could see his intestines working. It's not the pictures we see. It's not the pictures we see. Because he had 39 lashes. They took 38 and they hit 38. Stand up quickly. It was a cat of nine tails. On the end of each tail was a bone or a hook. Then they would hit him like that. So every time they hit him, it was nine strokes that ripped him open. It was a plowed field. And the last one, they hit like that. And when they hit the last one, everything burst open. So what we see on the cross, my father is one of our country's most famous artists. And I asked him, Dad, you make all these awesome paintings and you're so well known. Could you please paint Jesus on the cross for me? And he just didn't bring up anything. And I went into his studio one day when I visited him. And there he was. And he said, my child, I can't draw it. Because it cannot be told in human language or in human picture what happened there. And what we sometimes miss, that this is God. It's not Uncle Joe. It's God, Almighty God, that came down and did it for me. And you know, I think every time we read Jesus, we must actually put God in there. Then we'll start appreciating what has been done for us. You see, when we look at our situations and our circumstances and what makes us lose heart and what makes us sad and depressed and, oh my word, everything is done for us and it's brought right to us. And all we must do is swallow and take it and eat it and enjoy it. Amen. And what we do is most of our lives we moan about it. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to Annalise. I've been next to someone that appreciated God. For 36 years, I've been doing most of the work and being in ministry. But it was never precious enough for me to just go read the Bible. Just read it. Oh, we need answers. We need everybody to pray for us and to prophesy. Hey, Jesus is the answer. The Word became flesh and dwelled amongst us. If we read this word and it becomes alive in us, it's like Christ becoming alive in me. Come on, I was in a miserable state. I can truly understand why people commit suicide. If you see what has happened to me and what I've been through, I should be in an insane asylum. I decided to go look for the answer because I saw my husband reading. And you know, now, instead of crying, I'm doing dances on my bed. It's a miracle my bed has not smashed because I think I better lose weight before I do it again. The other day I was in a hotel and I'm up on the bed and I'm like, ooh, let me do it on the ground. But you know, when you discover Christ, it's like the pearl of great price. It's like everything you have can go, but I will not lose that. You see, we read scriptures that say we must put Christ first. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But it's like we don't do it because we don't realize the value of it. So we don't value Christ enough in our lives. And if there's anything I can leave with you, and I want Manning to remember, is the Word is the answer. The Word is the answer. Don't even go look anywhere else. Just throw yourself into the Word. But now, Jesus is dying. I wonder if the cross was just horrible. It was terrible. It was horrified. But Hebrews 12 says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. In other words, on the cross, that's what people did to him.
But he already won the victory in the garden. Because in the garden, it was his will. God, let this cup pass from me. And he went, my God, pray with me. And they slept. God, let this cup pass. I don't want to go through this. I know what I'm waiting for. They were in back. They were sleeping. You see, so many times we want assistance from people. But there's things that you have to face alone. I was riding on my husband's back. You know, he knows all the scriptures. He knows everything. But I had to find God alone. You can be married. You can be in the most wonderful church. If you do not have a relationship with God, you're empty. You're empty. You know, and it's like sometimes in a great church, we sort of get away with it. But there's going to come a time in your life you have to face it. Listen, I'm in a great church. I'm in one of the greatest church. I worship. My boys have got a band, Sons of Life. I am so sorry that I do not have any more materials. The only things I have is a little flash drive. I don't know where I've put it. At the back, these flash drives that I put some of my sermons, some of Kobus' sermons. I've put my 5 series on Revelation in there. I've got a 8 series of Knowing Your Time. It's awesome stuff. Listen to it. But we couldn't bring it through. I can't even bring DVDs and CDs, and I can't. So you've got to go on YouTube and watch it. My boys have got a band, Sons of Life. The worship in our place rocks, man. It's like, it kept me alive all these years. It's like so awesome. But you can be amongst all that and not have a relationship with Christ. Come on. Now, here, Jesus has been through all that for the price that was set before him. What was that price? What was the price that made Jesus take the cross? Here she stands. And he's been having patience with me, patience with me, patience with me, to leave my nonsense and go for the word. Guys, it's time. It's so high time that we experience the goodness and the greatness of God. But let's go on. It's Mother's Day. Okay, now he says, he's hanging on the cross. I want you to get the picture. Verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by him, whom he loved, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. What did he do? He was the son. But all of a sudden, he gave everything up because he was about to pay the biggest price ever. And what did he do just before he died? He cared for his mother. The last thing he did, because mothers carry this something. We are the guys that have wombs that bring life into this world. You know, and a mother is the most awesome thing ever. I think Pastor Corey read it. And he says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. But it's like there's something in a woman that keeps everything together. But the problem is, at this point, women were still under a curse. And the minute Jesus said, woman, behold your son. He says, I'm totally leaving you. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you out of the curse. Oh, man. I just love this. The next thing he said is, I'm thirsty. And the next thing he said is, it is finished. Okay, go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Now we can preach. Are you guys ready? I love 1 Corinthians 15. I wonder how many times I've read it and I still don't understand everything. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Bump your neighbor and say, open your ears and listen now. Because the Bible says, if you have ears to hear, hear.
And it's time that we hear what is going on here. He says, the first, everybody read it with me. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Listen, when God breathed his breath into Adam, he said, Adam became a living soul. Go check it up in Genesis 2. He says, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Now, I'm going to draw a line here again and say, this is above, for the guys that hasn't been yet. This is spirit. This is heavenly. Now, there were so many people not yet. Maybe I should explain it again. This is beneath. And this is natural. Natural. And it is earthy. Earthy. Now, our problem many times is that we think heaven is a planet somewhere. It's not. Heaven is a realm above. Let me explain it to you again. I did it last night, but I'm going to do it again. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. And he says, the heaven belonged to God, but earth he has given to man. And then he comes and he says, on earth, there is a firmament. And he divided waters from the waters. And he called that heaven. But this is called heaven. But we call this one sky. And then there was another firmament. And there he made the planets. He called that heaven. We call it space. So heaven is my throne. It's not sky. God doesn't live in the sky. He lives in the heavens. Heaven includes everything. His dwelling place is everywhere. It's not a planet that you go to. It's a realm. That's why when he says, when he comes, he appears at his coming. Heaven is actually around us. It's a cloud of witnesses around us. It's a realm that we don't understand. Now, people try to explain it to us, and we all had, well, I had that idea, and I'm sure if I had it, other people had it too. You know, heaven is somewhere there. Well, if heaven is somewhere there, when Stephen was stoned and he saw heaven opened, he must have had very good eyes. You know, it's like, we don't read the Bible, but revelation is growing. Guys, if we want to go further, we'll have to do it a little different than we've done till now. My son preached. He said, if you want a different output, you'll have to change your input. We have to wake up to righteousness. We have to grow in grace. We have to grow in revelation. But you know, because my grandfather taught me like that, well, I know more than Martin Luther. Does that make me bigger than Martin Luther? No. Revelation. He says, water is going to gush out the temple. 1,000 cubits. I've said it so many times, but I feel to say it again. Shame. Could Ezekiel not count? Isn't it 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000? 1,000 doesn't mean 1,000. It means perfect. As long as it's wide, as it's deep, it's perfection. 1,000 in the Bible is perfection. 1,000 years is perfect time. 1,000 is perfection. That's why Paul screams and he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be open, that you might know what's the length, the depth, and the height. And the love of God, because the love is the bond of perfection. Come on. I saw a city come out of heaven. It's as long as it's wide, as it's deep. It's the measure of a man. Ephesians says, I pray that you will all grow into the fullness of the full stature, of the full measure of the Christ. Come on. That is our place. Hebrews 6 says, let us go on to perfection. Yeah, but my grandfather said, yeah, but your grandfather was riding an ox cart. You are riding big trucks. It doesn't mean we're bigger than them. We're greater than them. Because Jesus himself said, I'm going to go. But you will do greater works because I'm going. Why?
The kingdom is ever increasing. Isaiah 9. A child is born, a son is given. The government is on his shoulders, he's everlasting father. And then he says, of the increase of this kingdom, there will be no end. In other words, the devil is not growing, the kingdom is growing. The devil is not going to be the winner. Come on, guys. We are the guys that are going to walk in and get the prize. I'm not going to sell out to the devil. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Me and Lo have just talked now again. You know what? When my children were born, when I held Quissy in my arms, I'm like, oh my God, I brought him to be a living soul. I did not bring children in the world that they can go to hell. I made that decision. I made that decision. And I tell you, I had three little brats. Is brat a bad name? Oh my gosh. You don't want to have the one of them. I said to him one day, if you need me, I'm going to lead you to God. Then I'm going to paddle you till you die. But you're not going to go to hell. I'll go to prison. I did not bring children in the world. But it's like, you know, I'm not a person that mixed in. Oh, you people are crazy. You leave me in your houses and I must open your fridges. I don't do that. We don't open people's cupboards. And I'm like, every time I do it, I'm like, sorry, God. But they said I must. But I didn't even went into my children's rooms and scratch in their rooms till God showed me, go. And I'm like, what's this? This is not. I didn't leave them till they made, oh, they hated me for it. They did hate me for it. I'm preaching in Canada because I've got three men of God that I have respect for. They're now my boss. They are now the men of God taking that ministry to the next level. When me and Quibbus was there, four times a year we preached all over the world. And then once a month we preached in Joburg. And Quibbus died. You cannot imagine what came to us when Quibbus died. And last month I started preaching in Joburg again. And they're like, Annelies, you've got to come back. I said, no, there's a new generation. My son is coming to preach. He phoned me this morning. He said, Ma, it was awesome. The miracles was great. Where's those days that it's like forgotten? Guys, we must see the vision of what God is going to do. Don't leave your children. Challenge your children. I did not bring children in the world to let them go. There's a spirit of, you know, hey, guys, we must teach the children the ways they should go. When they're old, they will not depart. I promise you. Okay. Must I tell you everything? Two of my three children, I expelled out of my own school. All three ran away. One, we actually found him with these guys that look for the drug lords. He helped me find my child. But they all came back to God. Because that's what you put into them. They will not get away from it. Don't give up. This is Mother's Day. My God, this is why you are a mother. You are forever tied to that child. Don't think anything that you pray is in vain. Come on, mommies. That's why you're a mommy. That's why you're a mommy. Quibbus, he thought I was a bit wild. Well, he can think what he wants to. My children is not going to go to hell.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. You know what? I edited Sons of Life, the videos that are on YouTube. I edited in ICU for my husband to see the boys before he died. I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud of them. I think so much of them that I'm not going back to that ministry till September. I'm actually working in Africa. Lo got me to come to Canada. I'm feeding kids in Africa. And I love it. I come to places where there's 7,000 kids that they feed. They only get food when they go to school. And they only get food 4 days from now. And they're this size. You know, there's so much to do for God. What are we wasting? What are we wasting? Come on, guys. Come on, guys. God's got a plan for us. Amen. We're not going to let our children just go. Okay, now. So we know about heaven. He says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam. The first, everybody say, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. Okay, this is not a Sunday school picnic. It's now, you've got to stay with me. The first Adam was a living soul. He was soulish. His spirit was dead. He had a spirit, but it was empty. He was not a spirited man. When God blew his breath in him, before he could pass the test, he already sold out. So in that, he plunged the whole world into a place where our spirits are dead and there is not a place for the Holy Spirit to land on the whole of earth. Okay, now let's go on. He says, but the last Adam, not the second Adam, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So Jesus Christ was born under the law, through a woman, under the law. But he was the last Adam. There was never going to be an Adam again. Last means finito. What do they speak here? It was now finished. There is not going to be. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is a must. It's like a chapter that you must read if you're a Christian. Now we know who hath believed our report, to who is the arm of the Lord. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. Okay, now I want you to go with to verse 8. And this is a verse that people don't often read. He said, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Now, it means he was by imprisonment and judgment. If you read the prophets and he talks about the prisoners, it means the prisoners of death. Because these guys' spirits were dead, and they had no way out of it. So he was taken from that imprisonment, and he took the judgment. And he says, who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. But Jesus came and he offered his soul as an offering for sin. Did you hear that one, Chris? Isn't that awesome? Come on. God condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in sinful flesh. And he said, God, let this cup not pass from me. Not my will, but your will. Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will. He literally gave his will. He chose for us. He died in our place. Now he says here, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So in Jesus dying, he was going to bring forth a new generation. He was the last Adam. Now let's go on. Oh my word, it's going to get awesome. Just bump your neighbor and say, this woman can preach. Wow. Now it says, verse 46, howbeit, that which was first was natural, and only afterwards came the spiritual. Verse 47, the first man was of the earth earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. What happened here? Jesus said in John 3, no one has ever seen the Father except he that comes from heaven, but he's on earth, which is in heaven. And this was the problem they had with him. They couldn't understand. He's the Son of Man. He's the son of Joseph, but he's the Son of God. Come on, to a point, he said to Peter, who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, you, Son of Man, you're the Son of God. So this is our dilemma too, because we are still here, but something happened to our spirits. We are not of the first man. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not of the first man.
You are not of the first man.
The first man was earthy. The second man came from heaven. What God did, he brought heaven right down here into our reach. That's why he became the door. We can just enter through that door. It is so easy. But because it's here, we don't understand it. So heaven is right here, but heaven is a higher level. So what I do is I just take this area and I turn it like that so that you can see heaven is higher than earth, but it's here. It's here. He brought it right into our reach. Are you with me? Okay. The first man is of the earth, earthy, but the second man is the Lord from heaven, and he became a quickening spirit. The minute you say yes to Jesus, you are walking and you are living your life and everything. But the minute you say yes to Jesus, something happens to you. His spirit awakens your spirit. The second man has become a quickening spirit. He has wakened your spirit. We have come to the spirits of the just made perfect. My body and my soul is yet to follow, but my spirit is already perfect. That's why it says in 1 John or 1 Peter 1, 9, the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. Romans 8 says, we wait with the earnest of the Spirit, pushing us to the redemption of the bodies. But we have already come to the spirits of the just made perfect. And this is our problem, guys. We are in the world, but we're not from the world. We are not from the world. Something has happened to us. He says, now, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal body. But now remember, the first Adam sold out and there was no place for the Spirit of God on the earth. We were under a curse. Men were under a curse. Women were under a curse. The snake is under a curse. The whole earth is under a curse. But Galatians says, cursed is everyone that hang on a tree. And he took, oh my God, when he hung there, he took the curse for me to open the spiritual realm. He took the curse so that we can walk into the spiritual realm. Now, there's a scripture that not many people read, but I'm going to read it to you. I'll tell you later where it is. I want you to really listen to what I'm saying. He says, did he not make one? Yet he had enough, he had a residue of the Spirit. But why one? He made one because he seeked a godly seed. And God made Adam. He blew into Adam. And he had enough breath, Malachi 2, 15, to make another man, but he sought a godly seed. And he knew what is man. When Jesus was on the face of the earth, he said, I'm not going to entrust myself unto man. I know what is in man. He said, I first want him tested. And before he was tested, he sold out. But God had his plan already. He had enough breath to make the second man. And the first man was under a curse. And the day that Jesus said to his mother, Mother, go, I'm going to take you out of this curse. Now, what happened is in the natural, we have Adam, man, and woman was taken out of man. Now, a woman can be a wow man or a whoa man. Sometimes she's like, wow, man. Sometimes you feel you want to eat her up and then you're sorry you didn't. Why? That's the natural. The woman was taken out of a man, and we get the struggle in the natural all the time. No man can understand a woman because women can't understand themselves.
That's right.
It's right. We're emotional. Here I am. But there's a purpose in everything. But now the problem is, men, what men don't get is the portion that is taken out of them is in the woman. So only how are we going to get this ever together again? You can't. Women and men and Satan is cursed and it's all a mingled lot. And God wants to get us free. Oh, my word. You started the worship and said, freedom reigns in this place. My program on the channel. I preach like 3-4 times on the channel per day. My program's name is Freedom. Freedom. It's for freedom. Christ has set us free. Why would we go to bondage? Be quiet now. Don't say amen too quickly. Because this is the problem. Since Jesus died on the cross, people want to go back to bondage. My God. He was the sacrifice once and for all. His own people didn't receive him. The veil rented to show them there's no ark beyond because the ark disappeared in Babylon. For 40 years, they still kept on sacrificing to a point where God had to take Jerusalem out, the temple out, burn it down. Because what did they do? Did they sew the veil back again? While Jesus was being crucified, the lamb once and for all. On the other side of the town, the same time they were slaughtering 300,000 lambs. Because there's this natural thing. We want the natural to rule. You see, we are body, soul, and spirit. Now, what happens when the last Adam became a quickening spirit? What he did is he gave us a chance to come into the spirit realm. He gave us a chance. He did everything for us and he gave it back to us and say, now you must rule. Because the first thing he said to Adam and Eve, rule and have dominion. They sold out. Jesus came, took it back for us. And you know, he said, I'm going because I'm going to give it back to you. So what he did is he made our spirits quickened and our bodies and our souls is still in the natural. And that keeps on pulling us downwards while our spirit is the only thing that can get our bodies and our souls out of that. But we are so mixed up that we don't know. Then we read the word with a natural mind and we start having organizations in the natural. And you know what the church does? That we squash the spirit. Oh my word, I don't know where I'm going now. Come on, guys. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And what we do is the natural mind wants the spirit out. So in other words, we have churches, but we want God out because God is spirit. Listen, spirit is not weird. The spirit is not weird. You don't prophesy to me and say, God said, and he didn't say it. I'll stop you right there. There's all kinds of, I don't know if I should go there. I'm very practical. But can you see my ring? This is what my husband gave me. Don't tell me there's gold what God gives me. There's weird things in church. I don't need feathers. I don't need anything. I want the spirit realm. My God, I'm not going to bring God's spirit down to feathers and let them have it. Let them have it. But then it must mean something. There must be more. You see, we've changed spirit for weird. My God, you know what is spirit? Is when you take a sick, crippled woman and say, in Jesus' name, live. I've seen 18 HIV people come out of their beds the same time. Why would I go to, there's a piece of gold. I can't even see it. I think it's your makeup, man. All the makeup has got glitter on and it's like, really, I was once, I had a jacket on and it had this silver, gling, 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 gling. And where I sat, all the gling, gling came off. Oh, they're like, oh my God, the glory of God. No, it was the gling, gling on my material. The glory of God is bigger than stupid gling, gling. It can just be a picture. Listen, I'm sorry, I'm arrogant now maybe, but please forgive me. Corey, stop me if you think I'm going to. But how can we, God is spirit and truth. He said, worship him in spirit and in truth. Our worship services must take us to another place. We sang this morning, his presence is heaven to me. But you know, we're like, we know all the beats, we know all the things. Come on, man, can we get God's spirit in this place? Can you imagine if the breath of God comes into this place? What do you think happened on Pentecost? The wind. What's the wind? The breath of God. Oh, come on. We have got no idea what God wants to do. But you see, we've exchanged it for our intellectualism. Man, can I read a scripture to you? And you will repent and say, Annelise, you're right. Preach it, woman. He says, the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God. If you don't understand the Spirit, just shut up. Don't open your mouth because you just prove you're natural. Sorry, I'm not saying this meaning bad to anybody. My husband died. I've just raised him 6 times from the dead. Why not a 7th time? I need to know. Don't tell me, oh, you know, God, God, God. I'm like, leave me alone. Oh, God wants to do so much for you. I said, go do it. I've done it. I want an answer from God. The Bible says we can know. We can understand. Our eyes can be opened. Our ears can. You know what it took me? For a year, I locked myself up at night. I slept 2 hours a night. I said, God, you have to speak to me. I didn't go look for scriptures. I just read it till I found it. And you know where I found it? In the spirit realm. In the spirit realm is the most awesome place we can find ourselves in. Revelation 1 says, who was, who is to come. But he says, I am, I am, I am. God is not was, he is not is to come, he's I am. And I realized, oh my word, we're all living in the past and the future, but he's right here now. You can step up right into the spirit realm. And when I stepped up into the spirit realm in my own room, you know what happened? I realized my husband is alive forever. Why would I cry? If he has to appear to me now, I would say, hey, what are you guys doing? I'm having a great time. Bye, I'm busy. Come on. You know, my past experiences and failures and my future destiny. He says we are predestined. The minute you step up into the spirit realm, it's all together. And that was just like, oh, your complexes and your depressions. Step on it. Amen. Step on it. I said it last night. Quissy preach, Goliath made David famous. Come on, man. It cannot happen to me what has happened. I should be in an insane asylum. People think I'm cute. I went to climb Kilimanjaro just to try and get my mind to think straight. I couldn't think straight anymore. My life was so difficult. It was hell. It was hell. I think the last normal day I had was in 2004. But when I found the Spirit, like, I'm in Canada preaching. I'm not in an insane asylum. But how precious is the spirit realm? The spirit, the spirit. My spirit is made alive. Now we want to throw that out of the church. What are we busy with? I don't know why I'm saying this. What are we busy with? Guys, you know, we're so scared to offend people sometimes. Can we come to a point where you don't want to offend the spirit? Get over your nonsense. You know what? God's not interested in your nonsense. I'm not interested in your story. Your story is a Sunday school picnic to mine. Now I must listen to you. Come on. Who was going to help me? Who was going to help me? Where do I go for help? I'm one of, my husband's the most famous preacher. Where do I go for help? No one can help me. I know everything. I know everything. I know the scriptures. I've been in the ministry 36 years. Everything you see, I've built. I've been there. I've done that. I started the channel. I started the school. I started everything. But when my soul was in need, there's only one way to go, and that's the Spirit. God, we must cherish the Spirit in our churches. The second man became a quickening spirit. He became a quickening spirit. I'm going to take you right there quickly. Go with me to John 20. How late is it? 10 to 1. Lo said he was going to get me off the poop at 12:30. He didn't. I'll go quick. The first one, listen, women and men are under a curse. The first one to sit at the grave when Jesus died was Mary. She was sitting there crying. Jesus came to her. Listen, Jesus was dead, but he's not dead. My husband is dead, but he's not dead. What shall separate me from the love of God? Life, death. Go read it. Romans 8. Paul says, whether I live or die. Because you see, the minute you step up into the quickening of the Spirit, even if you die, you sleep, you will be woken up. We cannot lose. The minute you step from darkness to light, you step from death to life. Amen. This is why Paul says, whether I live or die, I belong to God. Come on. Yeah. Come on. But you see, when you're in the natural, fight for life, fight for life. You want to gain your life. The Bible says you're going to lose it. He never said fight for life. He said fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on life. Oh, that's awesome. He said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? She supposed that it would be the gardener. Said to him, sir, if you have taken him away, please just tell me, and I will take him. Jesus said to her, Mary, can you imagine that picture? Oh my God. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is master. And Jesus said to her, wait, don't touch me. For I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and tell them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Daniel 7 says, the Ancient of Days was sitting, the court was in session, and the judgment seat was right, and in came the Son of Man, and he paid the price, and he poured his blood, so that we can receive the Spirit. Mary Magdalene came and she told the disciples, and she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day, that evening, listen, I wish I could get like spirit travel back in time, and I just want to see these things happening. Can you imagine? The fullness of time is when Jesus came to the earth, God landing on the earth, and then as a Son of Man paying the price. And he took us right there so that we, sons of man, me and Quibbs always sang a song. The king and the beggar on a lonely road one day, a strange occurrence took place as you will see. The king so rich became so poor that the beggar rich might be. The Son of God became the Son of Man. And there was this great exchange. Because, you know, we were originally made in his image. So he came in our image so that we can have our image restored. Yeah. Oh. But, you know, in the natural is, oh, We must just work on our image. Lose your image.
Amen.
Lose your image. Get the image of God. Lose your culture. Get the culture of Jesus. Come on. He'd taken us out of the curse, and he made, of the two, he made one man again. Oh, my word. Listen, we are in the natural, but I am spirit made perfect. Listen to this. And then the same day that evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled of fear for the Jews, came Jesus. They were still sitting in fear under a curse. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said so, he showed unto him his hands and his side. And then the disciples were so glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you. The scepter of his kingdom is peace." You know what? So many times we anxiously, we worry our prayers and we so anxiously work for God. We work for God outside of the kingdom. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Test yourself. If you haven't got it, you're not in the kingdom. I don't care if you're in the church. You're not in the kingdom. So then we want to rule our lives that way. We want to go back to the natural. No way. No way. But you see, we do it out of ignorance. And it's not condemning. It's like, guy, 1 Corinthians 15 says, wake up to righteousness. Yeah. What is righteousness? You are made the righteousness in the Spirit. Come on. Listen to this. Then Jesus said to them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, I send you." He came to do the work of the Father. What did he do? Come on. And he said, when he said this, he breathed on them and he birthed the second man. And the second man is able to receive the Spirit of God. That's why when he left, he said, "Go wait till you are endued with power." You are capable of receiving the Holy Spirit, the filling, and the... the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. And he poured it all out on you. But what is going on with us? You see, our bodies, our souls, and our spirits cannot be separated. If you separate my spirit from my soul, I'm a dead man. But Hebrews 4 says, the word, spirit. The word is spirit and life. Listen. Read it. Your soul shall live. Your spirit will be quickened. He says the word is a two-edged sword. And it cuts between spirit and soul. So that you can get your minds renewed in the spirit. Be transformed in the spirit of your mind by the washing of the water of the word. The word is water. The word is a sword. What does it do? It makes you realize you're a spirit being. Because we look at ourselves and, okay, I'm going to ask this for how many times in Canada. Who of you, after you were born again, sinned? Don't put up your hand, you liar. Come on. After I was born again, there's things I did wrong. And then my soul is forever condemning me. Forever condemning me. And I don't understand. But he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. What's wrong with us? So we pull our souls, we allow our souls to pull us down because the word is not alive in us. If the word is not alive in us, You are a natural man and you are sinking your spirit. Nobody else is doing it. You're doing it yourself. And you know what you do? Then you take the guy next to you and say, you are not in the spirit. Come with, down with me. We all go down. Hush, hush, we all go down. I'm sorry. You know what? I read that scripture last night. When Jesus, shall I read it again? Where did we read it? It's John 4. It was a revelation I got in Canada. I'm going to read it to you again. Revelation, John 4 verse 1. He said, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made more disciples than John, though Jesus himself didn't baptize, he left and he departed to another place. He left Judea and he went to Galilee. I will not allow let a natural man pull me down anymore. I've had enough of it in the church. It's time that the church, Kubis always started his programs, it's time for the church to come out of the closet. We are a city set on a hill. You know what is the most amazing thing to me? The most amazing thing to me is the last thing the Bible teaches us is this new Jerusalem coming down. That's in Revelation. But it was the first sermon that Jesus preached to his disciples. He said, you are a city set on a hill. You cannot be hit.
Yeah.
But Peter was still going to deny him. Judas was going to betray him. All the other disciples were just scarecrows. They all ran away. They couldn't stand up for Christ. He didn't even look at that. He said, you're a city set on a hill. What? Know you not that you're the temple? He's not interested in our failures. He's interested if we receive the sacrifice. The law of life in Christ Jesus. Okay, I have to go. It's 1 o'clock. We have to drive. I'm not going to pray for nobody. You have to take the word. Unless, Pastor Corey, you want to pray for the people, but we have to leave. Listen to the scripture. The law of life. The spirit of the law of life. Let me read it, that I don't misquote it. I'm finally getting to quote scriptures. I'm very proud of myself. In case I make a mistake. Listen to this. For the law of the spirit of life. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Come on. You know what he says here? Over all who accept the sacrifice. Is that not awesome? I think I need to read you one more scripture. Then you will realize we don't have a peculiar problem. We really don't have a peculiar problem. It was there all the time. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now going to be perfected by the flesh? Same problem. I just want to pray one prayer and then we're going to leave. I will not be able, we're just going to run out. Ha! Huh, I'm now like those preachers that run out. Because if we have to greet everybody, we're going to stay here 2 hours. So I'm greeting you now. I've got to fly out early next tomorrow morning. It was such a privilege, but I pray for our open heaven. God, we're just not going to sing about it. Open the heavens. I pray in Jesus' name that the spirit over Manning will be open. I release a flow of your spirit in this place. Lord, I can just see from the throne room, from the land, water gushing out and just filling this whole place of Manning. I pray, God, that we'll have an openness for the spirit in this place like never before. I pray, God, your word says you are prepared to come to us like the morning. Like the early and the latter rain. And we say, Lord Jesus, this is your church. This is your place. I pray for Pastor Corey and Jennifer, that they will be the leaders that God wants in this place. Lord, I pray that you will anoint him. Where is he? Where is he? Can I pray for you? I'm just going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, there's a purpose and there's a plan. And I pray, God, that Corey Roosevelt will never be the same again. God, the call that you have placed in him. Oh my God, Corey, it was from birth. It was from a young boy. There was never anything else in this man. I pray, God, that you will just waken up the spirit inside of him. And that this will be a new day. That this will be a new day for Manning, in Jesus' name. God, he's the man that you placed here. And I thank you that he will be led by the Spirit, that he will be known as a man that is led by the Spirit, that the wind of God will take him. And we natural men don't understand, but I thank you, God, that he will understand the Spirit. Let him hear. Let him hear. Let him see in the spirit realm. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, brother. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you. I love Canada.